Congregation, we began the service with the singing of Psalm 23. Let us now turn to that psalm. Psalm 23, we'll read the entirety, verses 1 through 6. And our focus this morning is going to be on the first sentence, the first portion of that first verse. Congregation, this is the Word of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So far we read God's holy word. Well, beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the words of Psalm 23 are some of the most sweetest, some of the most beloved words in all of the Psalms, even in all of Scripture. I think we would all agree. This Psalm has been referred to as being the Pearl of Psalms by Charles Spurgeon. Alexander McLaren said this with regards to this Psalm: the world could spare many a large book better than this sunny Psalm. It has dried many tears and supplied the mold into which many hearts have poured their peaceful faith. So in other words, all the volumes written to lead us out of our darkness are nothing compared to these six short verses. They immediately shine with glorious hope and with great comfort. They bring peace and tranquility where there once was worry and anxiety. How often have we not heard these very familiar words of Psalm 23? How often have we ourselves not read these words? Perhaps when a loved one faced sickness or even death. Perhaps when we ourselves were going through some dark moments in life. For many, these have been the last words they heard from the Word of God. Perhaps even the last words they spoke. But there's also a danger in the fact that this psalm is recited flippantly by so many who do not name the name of Jesus Christ, who have no interest in truly being a sheep within the sheepfold of the great shepherd. They know of an almighty God, but they know nothing of an almighty God, let alone a precious Savior who is also the believer's shepherd. They have no sense of their own sin, but yet they see these words as being their balm, their salve to lay upon their wounds. And when the moment of pain and anxiety and distress have passed, their world once again begins to revolve on the axis of self. But what about us? What about we who do profess faith in God, we who do confess Jesus as Lord, what about us? We who lay claim to the grace of God and profess His undeserved mercies. Beloved, we too must be particularly careful when reciting these words, when looking at these words, any word of Scripture for that matter, so as to not take that word of God for granted, nor to take the Lord's name in vain. In our ignorance, this can so easily be done. But you see, that's the beauty of corporate worship, of coming together as God's people to have the Word of God opened and set before us so as to bring to mind again who our triune God is and who we are with respect to Him. With the Holy Spirit as our guide, the depths of Scripture can be plumbed and its glorious truths can and will find their place within the hearts of God's people. If we neglect the work of the Holy Spirit and fail to have Him lead us and guide us as we listen to the Word of God, as we read it for ourselves, then that Word serves only as background noise in the midst of our busy lives, where a cold and spiritually lifeless heart will make every effort to drown out that noise. But when these words do find their way into the hearts of God's people through the work of the Holy Spirit, they serve their glorious purpose, and there hardly needs to be any explanation as to their meaning. We just know the riches of these words of confession. But then, isn't it wonderful to be reminded? May it be then that as this psalm is considered in this morning and again this afternoon, the first part of the first verse and the last verse in this psalm, that the Lord would illuminate our hearts and our thoughts, that we might see even more the fullness of the Lord God Almighty, who in His grace and mercy has showered us with perfect love. That perfect love manifested through Christ's sacrifice, placed upon our hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, we take the opening words of this psalm as our text. Very simple. The Lord is my shepherd. And we see, first, that it is the Lord who is shepherd. Secondly, I belong to Him. And third, He cares for me. The starting point of this confession of faith declares that it is the Lord who is shepherd. He is shepherd to everyone who embraces the gift of salvation, everyone who knows the name of Jesus Christ, who knows Christ and has Christ in their hearts. And beloved, we could consider these five words of our text and they would give explanation to everything that follows. This psalm, you could say, could stand by itself with just these opening words. Who is my shepherd? It is the Lord. Therefore, because it is the Lord who is my shepherd, there will be no want for anything. He will lead me to green pastures. He will bring me into peaceful tranquility when the whole world around me is going crazy in the midst of chaos. He is the restorer of my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, and surely goodness and mercy will follow me every day of my life and through all eternity. But congregation, before we go further, let's take a moment to consider the composer of this psalm. This is a psalm of David. And we have no doubt, there's no question about this. And looking at these verses, we can only say that he was one who suffered greatly, if we know anything of David's life. He was one who had taken a huge drink from a bitter cup, one who had known the tragedies of life and had realized that most of them were the results of his own actions. They came to him by his own hand. But he was one who had, through it all, received spiritual rest for his soul, one who had been revived in his spirit, one who could look around and see the great joy there in the midst of trial. He was one who had a spiritual heart, a heart that longed for salvation, a heart that hungered for eternal life, a heart that cried out for deliverance. His faith allowed him to see, as it were, around the corners of his bitter disappointment and loss. And so he was able, by the grace of God, to look to the New Jerusalem. He could see the Lord's hand in every turn of his life, in spite of his own self, as he looked in the rearview mirror, looking to the part of his life that lay behind him. And as he took one long, hard look at everything that had happened, the song that rose up from within the heart of this psalmist, this pastoral song, was "The Lord is my shepherd." This wasn't David writing this while he was tending sheep. This was David writing this near the end of his life. And this is what he confessed. "The Lord is my shepherd. Congregation, there isn't one in our midst this morning who hasn't known firsthand some of what David has gone through. We all have experienced loss. We all have been sinned against, and we all have sinned against another, and we all have suffered the consequences in the process. We all have shed bitter tears because of our actions, and we all have traveled through dark valleys, not able to see our hand that's right before our eyes. But we all know what it is to come through these moments of darkness into the majestic light of God's grace. God's children do not remain forever in their seasons of darkness. Our journey that leads us into these trials of life also take us out of them again. And we recognize that promise that Jesus spoke, that He not only goes to prepare a place for us in heaven, but also while on this earth, God prepares His children for heaven. He teaches us how to live, but He also teaches us how to die. It's not as though we have no foretaste of heaven. We will not one day arrive to take up residence in a strange heavenly home, only to stand before a strange God, there to live among a strange people for all eternity. Heaven is a place God made familiar to us. It is a place that is prepared for us. We are being prepared by a God whose nature is to prepare. As we read in Hebrews 11 verse 26, but now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. The point of all this is to remind you that when these moments of heaven on earth are tasted by us, we who are the children of God, when we taste of the blessed comforts of salvation in Christ, when we recognize again the full mercies of God that have been lavished upon us, we who are so undeserving, we then recognize again that as God's children, we must begin, continue, and only end with the Lord. When we confess with such joy because of what has been placed in our hearts, the Lord is my shepherd, everything that has to do with self disappears. The Lord, in that moment, becomes our all in all. And beloved, it's in these moments we recognize the insignificance of self, where self is pushed back and the Lord takes His rightful place at the forefront of our lives. It's in these moments that we have the greatest peace and the greatest satisfaction in this life, the greatest enjoyment in this life, the greatest contentment in this life. When Christ is in the forefront of our hearts. And so the very basis of this psalm rests on these two words, the Lord. In fact, these two words are the basis of all of Scripture. They are the very basis for each of God's elect. These words are written in the hearts that have been turned from stone to flesh. This is how the psalm begins. This is how our life in Christ begins. The Lord. It's the Lord. Well, beloved, who then is the Lord? Are you acquainted with the Lord? Has it been your experience that you have been made to cry out to Him, knowing that He alone holds the key to life? Do you fear the Lord? I believe that in our generation, that in these days, we are in danger of losing sight of the Lord. Just look at the world's response to pretty much anything these days. Everything is done without little to absolutely no consideration for the will of God, with no consideration for the glory of God. Congregation, we can recite these words But the question then is this: how sincere are we in embracing these words? Have we stood before God's attributes there to experience His holiness, His majesty, His justice, His power, His wisdom, His grace, His mercy, His love? Do you realize that the first step into eternity, an eternity that begins with saving faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, rests on these two opening words? The Lord. You see, without that understanding, without that conviction, we couldn't even think to move another step forward in considering this psalm. It would only be vain repetition. Jeremiah writes in chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth." The Lord. The word that is here translated as the Lord is the word that is also translated in some versions Jehovah. It is the Hebrew word Yahweh. I am who I am. There is no one greater. He is the all-sufficient God. He is a self-existent God, the one who is the same today as He was yesterday, as He will be tomorrow. He is the one who has entered into covenant with His elect. The promises to them are sure. But He is to be feared. And that, beloved, is where the rubber hits the road. We're not afraid of Him. We do not have that sense of fear that the Israelites had as they stood at the foot of Mount Sinai. We do not tremble at the prospects of an eternity of God's wrath. Why? Because the promises to us are sure in Christ. Our sense of familiarity rests in Christ. But yet, this God is to be feared. Proverbs 2, verse 5. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days. Proverbs 14, 26 and 27. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Proverbs 15, verse 16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Yes, beloved, the fear of Yahweh. And to fear God is to stand in awe of God, it is to reverence His name. And so we confess that this Lord, whom we must fear, is indeed our shepherd. Now, by referring to the Lord as shepherd, David ties in the messianic promise of the great shepherd king, Jesus Christ. He points to Him, the one who calls Himself the good shepherd. What do we know about shepherds? When we think of shepherds, we think of those who were and still are in some places of the world watching their flocks by night. Those who are watching their flocks when the angels suddenly appeared and announced the birth of Christ, as we read in Luke. We think of their lowly work. Let me put it this way. We wouldn't necessarily give up our day job to seek a career in shepherding. In the time of David, the role of shepherd was considered to be very low on the scale of prominence. It was an unpleasant task reserved for the youngest in the family. Shepherds were around the sheep 24/7 through all the seasons, no matter the weather. They had to make sure the sheep were fed and protected, and they were to go to great lengths to care for the sheep. And here was David confessing the truth that Jehovah, Yahweh, was his shepherd. the one who went to great lengths to care for him. The lowest of jobs was taken on by God Almighty. How often have you ever thought about that? God, who has called all things into existence, has reached down from heaven to take care of his sheep. Who are his sheep? They are his elect. They are his chosen. They are you and me. And in Christ, we see even more clearly how we are protected and cared for, in that Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. He is the shepherd. The shepherd redeemer who sits at God's right hand, waiting until such time as he will return. So, beloved, we see that concept in the two psalms that stand on either side of this psalm as bookends. Psalm 22, in there we see the shepherd who died for us, for his sheep. In this psalm we see the shepherd who lives for his sheep, here in Psalm 23. And then in Psalm 24, the one that follows this psalm, we see the shepherd who will come again for his sheep. So then, the Lord is my shepherd. To confess that is to then confess to being a sheep in the flock that is owned by God, watched by God. And so this then is our second point of confession. I belong to him. It is the Lord who is shepherd. That's one thing. But we who are his children, his sheep, speak of him as being my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? Do you belong to him? I hear you say in your hearts, yes, yes, he's my shepherd. Yes, yes, I belong to him. Well, then, do you need him as your shepherd? Can you live without him as your Savior? You see, it's all well and good to confess the Lord and to even confess him as being your shepherd, but do you recognize yourself as being one of his sheep? We've just said that none of us would leave our day jobs to become shepherds. But is it above our dignity to confess that we are sheep? Because by virtue of your confessing God as your shepherd, and in that mix is the understanding that our shepherd is the shepherd redeemer who is Christ, but then we must be ready to acknowledge ourselves as being sheep. The sheep of his pasture. A phrase that we sang as we sang Psalm 100. And when we confess ourselves as sheep, we must also recognize our dependence upon our shepherd. And are you ready to do that? You see, sheep are interesting animals, to say the least. If you get right down to it, to be referred to as a sheep is to be classified as one who is utterly dependent. Is that you? Sheep are very dependent. If a sheep were left alone for any length of time, it would soon find itself in trouble, in distress, in its helplessness, and defenseless as a defenseless animal, one who needs care and guidance day and night. And that sheep would be at a loss without a shepherd. Well, isn't that a picture of you and me? Do you not see how through your covenant head, Adam, you have already brought destruction upon yourself? Don't you see that all your ways lead to death? Young people, this concept of shepherd and sheep is especially hard for you in your experience of life are just now being rooted in realizing that you are becoming independent. This is something that you are just now gaining in some degree, your independence, and that you are coming out from under your father and your mother's rule in the sense that you're slowly making some of your own decisions. And those decisions involve the spiritual direction of your life. Are you too busy having such fun with your peers to give any of this any thought? What does it mean for you to confess, as a young person, the Lord is my shepherd? Is it important that you do this? Should these words have meaning to you? As a child of God, his child born out of promise, it is your responsibility to come to the realization that some of your independence would mean that you are moving to an open recognition of your dependence upon Christ. Your Father is now your covenant head, and that you follow his spiritual lead. However, slowly that will become your responsibility, as it ought to become your responsibility. Realize then that you are sheep who must depend on the Good Shepherd. Jesus says in John chapter 15, "Without me, you can do nothing." Think about that for a moment. Without me, you can do nothing. Another thing that sheep are, and it's getting even more degrading, that is, if we let our pride stand in the way. Sheep are dumb. Sheep are foolish. A sheep is one of the dumbest animals alive. A sheep will practically kill itself to get to pastures that are all but barren, leaving behind lush, green pastures. A sheep can easily go astray, but has great difficulty in finding its way back. But a child of God who confesses the Lord as shepherd will also confess his or her foolishness. Asaph confessed in Psalm 73 verse 22, "I was so foolish and ignorant, I was like a beast before you." A sheep is also a wanderer. It will follow any path, but seldom takes the right one. It goes in all directions except the right one. But a sheep who confesses the Lord as shepherd will recognize that all we like sheep have gone astray, each his own way, and that Jesus is the way. Sheep who confess the Lord as shepherd know the voice of the Good Shepherd, and they follow him. Sheep are also stubborn. If a sheep needs to be washed, it does everything possible to break free. It will struggle and resist the very thing that is good for them. If, for instance, the sheep is being washed in shallow water, as long as its feet, it feels that it has a foothold, as long as there's something underneath his feet that he can touch, it will fight. But if it discovers that there is nothing but water beneath them, they give up that fight. And they become submissive. Let this template be placed over your life. Do you not struggle and fight resisting the work of salvation until your feet are knocked out from under you? Then the Lord has your attention, doesn't he? And sometimes that's exactly what it takes to get our attention, isn't it? Beloved, to truly confess these opening words of this psalm, we must confess ourselves to be sheep who are in need of a shepherd, and then be willing to submit to him. Yes, we are like sheep. It's a perfect description of who we are, but we have the ability to think. We have the ability to reason. The Spirit works in our hearts to help us rise above our sheep-like characteristics so as to conform to the image of God. As those who belong to the Lord who is shepherd, let us forsake ourselves and place our lives in his hand. We are, after all, his. And so confessing that the Lord is my shepherd and confessing that we belong to the great shepherd, we then must know that he cares for us. Our third point. He preserves us. He watches over us. Now we have Easter in our rearview mirror, and many ways our sights are again on the Easter that will come in 2025. But following on the heels of Easter, we have Ascension Day service, where we come together and confess Christ sitting at God's right hand. And from there, at God's right hand, he watches over us, we who are his sheep. He cares for us. He intercedes for us, as Scripture teaches. He goes to great lengths to fulfill his promises to us, and he never comes up short. He never says, "I tried my best, but I just couldn't do it." His promises to us indeed are sure. Earthly shepherds, on the other hand, fall short. They fall asleep in the night watches. They lose sight of the sheep. And so if one is lost, they must go and find it. They are unable to fully preserve their flock from disease and pestilence. But God has a full shepherd's heart. He leads with a shepherd's hand. He listens with a shepherd's ear. He is always near his sheep. He knows his sheep. He is a faithful shepherd. He has the strength and the power of a good shepherd, a perfect shepherd. In the first question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism, we confess that we are not our own, but we belong to whom? We belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are preserved in such a way by Him that not a hair can fall from our head without the will of our Heavenly Father. And that by His Spirit we are assured of eternal life, and so we are made able to serve and to live for Him. God, through Christ, is our shepherd, and as shepherd He is never without His flock. His elect are sought for. His elect are found by Him. But the question we must ask ourselves is this: is He my shepherd? And am I His sheep? Is this shepherd whom we have confessed here indeed the keeper of my soul? Is this what we truly and honestly believe? And I'm sure as we spend some time thinking of those things, we know of the things in our life that would point to the fact that, yes, the Lord is my shepherd. So you know the voice of the good shepherd. You know the blessed joy of being owned by this shepherd. The sign of ownership is the mark of the cross. Is that what you hold up for all to see? Do you then acknowledge His authority over you in the context of your covenant home and in the context of this covenant community that we know as the church? Are you truly being shepherded by the Lord, or are you resisting His lordship as shepherd over you? If we confess these opening words as being true, then why would we ever think to strive in our own strength? A good shepherd cares for his sheep, and a good shepherd has the best interests of his sheep at heart. Isaiah 40 verse 11 speaks as to who our shepherd is. Our shepherd, the Lord our shepherd, will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. What a blessing to each and every one of us here this morning. What a blessing to fathers and mothers with young children. May we rejoice, congregation, in confessing the Lord as our shepherd, the one who leads and guides and upholds us in every aspect of our lives. To Him be the glory. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God and Father, Lord our Shepherd, we thank You and praise You, Lord, for all that You have given to us as You feed us, as You nourish us, as You lead us into green pastures, as You protect and preserve us from falling away. We thank You, Lord, that You comfort us and that You are with us always. We pray, Father, that we would, as sheep, indeed be those who follow willingly. We have a human nature, Lord, that desires independence. But may You indeed come near to us and remind us that the blessings of independence that we might think are right and good are indeed a detriment to us, that our dependence is to be upon You. And there will be the good life. May You lead us and guide us in these truths and bless us and be with us, Lord, throughout this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.